Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hey everyone. Welcome back. So I'm excited for today's guest. Her name is also Lo, and she founded the Passion and Growth Subscription Box, which is basically sharing resources and content for millennial women to put themselves first, reset their mindset. I mean, she is the definition of self-love. You just hear her story and what she's gone through and what she has done to fall in love with herself. Despite, you know, having some things happen. I think we've all had shit happen. And I won't get specific into it because she gets specific into it on the episode. But it was a really wonderful conversation just to connect and, you know, riffing over mindset and just having all of those conversations and what she's working on right now and similar different things where I'm like, yep, I'm working on that too. Oh, this this is why I am interviewing this woman. Not because I'm here serving you guys and sharing with you their stories to show you what is possible for you, but also everyone's going through some shit, and there's some shit I'm going through and was going through, and I'm like, it is time. Have you ever had that when the universe shows you enough stuff and you're finally like, it is time. It is time to go through that fire that I keep trying to go around, over, and avoid, and I just have to walk in the effing fire. So yeah, and with that, let us begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And I'm excited to have today's guest. So, Lo, can you take it away? Yes, ironically, her name is also Lo. Can you take it away and let people know who you are and what you're about?
Yes. So, like she said, my name is Lo. I am the founder of a company called Passion and Growth. And so I'm very passionate about self-care, self-love, personal development. And so I've kind of made it my mission lately to try to spread as much of that as I can. So my mission really is to help women learn to love and accept themselves as they are. So that's really what I'm about.
Which is much needed, especially now, just like loving who you are, doing the self-love, like learning how to balance what is going on while you're at home.
Yeah, it has. It's, you know, I never would have expected this or planned for this, but ironically it is. It's like right when I, you know, this is a very new company and it's like right as it's starting to kind of take off, we get faced with this where it's a big challenge right now for people to practice like self-care, self-love. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of us, you know, myself included, it's transitioned to now we're working at home and how do you balance everything? Your whole schedule's been disrupted and, you know, parents are now, you know, teaching their kids at home and you do taking on all these roles that they've never had to take on before. And I think taking that moment to step back and just say, like, I still have to take care of myself is really challenging right now. And so I think more than ever, it is really important. And it's also important, I think, to realize I've seen a lot of like different memes and stuff out there that are like, you know, if you take this time and you're not learning like a new hobby or like starting a business or that, then like you're just like lazy. And I don't necessarily agree with that because I think sometimes too, like, you know, people just need this time to just figure out what the heck is going on. You know, it's not the time, I think, there's a global pandemic going on. It's not the time to be like, oh, well, you should be learning how to, you know, basket weave or whatever. You know, it's the time to just figure out like your new normal and whatever that looks like for you. And it's going to look completely different for everybody. There's no way it's going to look the same. So yeah, I think more than ever, it's very important.
I've been talking about that all week. That
was really
inspired my solo episode this week because I just got tired of it. Like I saw it early on and I'm just like, you don't know what people need. And right now you're shaming them. Mm-hmm. That is shame and judgment in a time where
sometimes we don't know if the sky is blue.
Right. So. Just like you said earlier, when we were talking before this started, it was like, what day is it? You know, like so many people mm-hmm. right now, it's like, what day is it? Like, what's going on? Like, I have kids that I'm trying to homeschool. I have a job I'm also trying to complete while teaching kids. You know, like, it's just pure chaos going on right now. And it's, yeah, you're right. Just like, shaming. It's a new way of shaming. And it's, we have to get away from that mindset. And everyone handles and processes things completely different. And like self-care for me is going to look completely different than self-care for you. And part of this process is just learning like what it is, what that is for you. And it doesn't have to be the same. Like everybody's different and everybody processes things different. And there's no way for me to know like what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. That's so much of what I've said on there. I'm like, you do you. Here's your permission slip. You do you. I don't care what you do as long as it's like what you know you need. Mm-hmm. And want to do. And I'm like, I will be able to know that because if I ask that question of like, is that really what you want to do? That's me being like, you're not doing what you want to do. So go do what you want to do. It doesn't yeah. matter.
Which I think that's a really interesting topic because that's a lot of the reason of why I actually got into kind of like this personal growth business is there was a long time that I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I needed. I didn't actually have any clue how to take care of myself. I was very much a people pleaser and I lived for outside validation. Like I had no clue what it meant to take care of myself, nor how to make me, you know, like fill up my tank. And so that's a really interesting point you said, because I think had this happened 4 years ago, like I would have no clue how to take care of myself. You know, my identity was so wrapped up in everybody else. I didn't know what my identity was, you know, and it took a lot of time and effort and work and therapy and crying and emotions and all that to figure out what it is that I enjoy and what it is that I like, you know? And so now I can look and be like, you know, I think there was a time in my life where I would have absolutely been losing my mind right now because I think I thrived so much on other people's validation of me that I would have been like, what am I going to do here by myself? Like, I got all these crazy thoughts going in my head and like, I'm telling myself all these negative thoughts and what do I do? And so I think that's interesting too, that, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there too, that don't necessarily know what it is that they need. And, you know, that's okay too. It's, we're all in different spots in our life and, you know, not knowing is also okay. If you don't know what you need, then there's nothing wrong with that either. Cause I've been there. I've done that. Got that trophy. Right.
It's not knowing what you need, but it's also you can know what you don't need or don't yeah. want. So that can push you to look at different things of trying. So when I'm talking to someone about like what they want to do with their life, what their dreams are, what their goals are, and they're just like, I don't even effing know. I'm like, okay, cool. So what don't you want? What do you already know that you don't like doing or don't want to do or have done in the past that you don't want to do? Because that eliminates a lot of options mm-hmm. for you.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. What do you not want to do? Because sometimes that's reverse psychology is like the best way to look at it. Like, what do you know that you don't like to do? Because I think had someone presented me with that question a couple years ago, I could have been like, well, I'm tired of doing what everybody else wants. Like, I'm ready to do what I want. But like, I couldn't have flipped it and been like, I want to take care of me, you know, like that's a great way to look at it to be like, well, what do you not want to do? Cause sometimes that can, you know, show up and can guide you into what you do want to be doing. So I love that you said that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just goes to show like the culture and especially for women, we don't get asked, what do we want? It's expected. And so when someone starts asking us what we want, we start to internally freak out because we don't know what we want or we know what we want. And we have this guilt trip going in our mind that, oh, it's too much. They're going to judge us or shame us for wanting X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 100% correct. It's hard. You know, I think we've been raised to not show what we want or need. You know, we kind of are in this role that we do serve other people and we take care of everybody else and don't put ourselves first. And it's, you know, it's such a hard, it's hard to really grasp that like concept. I think, you know, that's how, and I lived that for a long time. It was hard to, I felt very guilty and felt, well, I shouldn't be like taking care of myself or, you know, someone wants me to go and do this though. And I should do it because, you know, what else am I going to do? Or so putting, you know, my foot down and just being like, what I need is to you know, do X, Y, Z, or what I need is to say no to that. I was a yes girl, like nobody's business, you know, whether I wanted to do it or not. And if anyone asked me to do anything, it, just like you said, it was guilt. And my guilt would, my head would be like, no, like, I really don't. But because I felt guilty, I was like, okay, sure. And it's just like, you just run yourself completely dry, always giving, 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 and not, you know, taking that time to be like, okay, like, why should we feel guilty for putting our needs at the forefront of our minds? Because it so rarely happens, you know, just like you said, it's, again, shamed into thinking that you shouldn't put yourself first.
Mm-hmm. I just don't have time for shame. It just like grinds my gears when I see stuff like that. I'm like, you don't even know what's going on in some people's lives. So just mm-hmm. let it be and let's move on. So what was the pivotal point 4 years ago for you to shift and finally start putting yourself first?
I think it just came after years and years and years of negative self-talk. So when I was a baby, I had a tumor. And so I was just a couple weeks old. And I had what the doctors at that time thought was a birthmark. And turned out it was a pretty aggressive tumor that grew very rapidly, very quickly. And it caused a lot of facial reconstructive surgery that needed to happen. And so it's left a pretty significant scar on my face that throughout all my childhood, I had surgeries and even to my young adulthood. So I had, you know, probably a little over 20 surgeries in my life. Several of those were just removing the tumor. And then a lot of those were doing plastic reconstructive surgery. And so I had a lot of body image and self-confidence issues like that, just from the get-go for as long as I can remember, you know, I got stares and I got asked like, what's wrong with you? And you kind of know how kids are, like kids are not the most, you know, they say what's on their mind. And so I just remember like always like feeling so inadequate and just feeling like everyone was always staring at me and asking what's wrong. And so I kind of just grew up with that mentality that I just assumed that there was like something wrong with me and like something about me that needed to be fixed. And I was always going to be that person that when someone walked in a room, like I was going to get stared at, and not because I was like this drop dead gorgeous model. Like, you know, that's what I told myself. And so I was not nice to myself. And so I think I worked so hard to, like I said, I was a people pleaser, to please like everybody else, because I knew that, you know, if I was like nice or like I treated other people right, or people would buy and be like my friend, because I just assumed that like me, how I was without always trying to do everything for everybody else, like people wouldn't want to be around me or people wouldn't like me. I was very critical of myself. And so I struggled a lot in high school with just my appearance, and I went through having like eating disorders, and I just did a lot like constantly trying to change how I look because I just didn't think that it was enough. And a lot of that kind of translated into my college years as well. I still had that same just like very negative mindset. At the time, I don't know that I even realized that that was what it was. Like, I don't know that it was just my narrative. I didn't know that, hey, Lorena, like you're being like real hard on yourself, you know? And so it was just, that's how I thought every day. Like every time I tried on clothes, I was just like, my body is, you know, my butt's too small, and, you know, this love handle's too big. And it was just like, I just picked myself apart. And I think it was, like I said, so probably, yeah, like in my late 20s, I don't know, something just finally clicked. I think I'd read a couple books. So this is why I love personal development books. I was reading a book and it was talking about your mindset. And it was basically saying that your mind is kind of like your best friend. Whatever you tell it is what it's going to find like the facts for. So if you tell yourself like you're not pretty, you know, should lose weight, this or that, it's going to pull all those things from your past that support that thinking. Because it's not necessarily there to argue if it's right or wrong. It's just there to support you no matter what. And so I read that and then I was like, huh. So if I start telling myself like nice things, it's going to like find evidence to support that as well. And so that was, I think, very pivotal for me, because up until then, I don't know that I realized that it was something that I could control. I just assumed that my whole life I'm going to live like hating my body and like hating the way I look. And I'm never going to get past that. And I assumed like the only way that would help it was to do like diets or lose weight or do this. And none of those things ever actually resulted in true happiness. It was temporary, but it never really, I never actually accepted and loved myself like I needed to. And so reading that I think is what changed my mind. And so I started reading about like mantras and like affirmations and saying like repetitive statements to yourself, you know, and I was of course kind of like, oh, this is a crock of shit. But I was like, you know, we'll try it. And so it kind of gives examples of a lot of different mantras you could say. And some of them were so outlandish that I was like, oh, there's no way that like I can say that to myself and I'm going to believe it. And then there was one I came across that was super simple. And it said, like, if you can't think of any other like affirmations or mantras that you can say to yourself because they seem so out of the realm, like it seems so awkward to be like, I am beautiful and I am awesome and I am worthy. Like, to me at that time seemed like such a stretch. I was like, I can't say that. Like, none of that's true. And so it said, if none of those seem right and they don't feel comfortable to you and not something that you can say and believe it, then start with something that says along the lines of, I'm getting really good at telling myself positive things. And I was like, oh, I was like, I can do that. I was like, I can get down with that. That one doesn't seem super fake or super awkward, or it's not these crazy outlandish things that like I don't believe about myself. I was like, but I can tell myself that I'm getting good at telling myself positive things. I was like, okay, let's try it. And that's, I started with that. Like a couple times a day, I started with that mantra. Like, I'm getting really good at telling myself positive things. And I would just say it over and over and over again. And like, eventually, like, what they say is true. Like, you start feeding your mind different information and you start believing that. And so instead of always, you know, anytime I would kind of start to, not anytime, but if I caught myself kind of going down this rabbit hole of my typical negative thoughts of, you're not pretty, you're not worthy, why would anyone love you? Like, you have a scar and you're different and you're whatever, all these things, I would then try to stop myself in the tracks and say that mantra. And eventually, you know, it wasn't right away, but eventually after a couple of weeks, I started to notice, oh, like, you're stopping yourself when you're kind of saying these other negative thoughts, and now you're replacing it with something positive. And so my natural, like, it became a little bit more natural to then say that statement as opposed to all the other ones. And I think that was the most pivotal moment for me to realize, like, I'm in control and I can decide what I'm going to think. And I think at that moment, like, it kind of just like catapulted from there that I was like, I've been the one like shortchanging myself. I've been the one not giving myself enough credit. I've been the one telling myself that I'm not worthy and I'm not enough and I need validation from all these people. Like, me, I've done that to myself and I have to stop doing that. Like, I have to be my biggest cheerleader. And so eventually, like, it took time, a lot of time. I kept reading books and kept kind of just trying to learn how the mind and brain works. And eventually, it just, the more you consume of that and the more you really change what you tell yourself, I mean, it really did make a difference. And before I knew it, I was saying those like, I'm enough, I'm worthy, like, I'm a warrior, I'm freaking awesome, like, I'm amazing. And like, now those are the things I tell myself. But a couple years ago, I was like, that's a total lie. Like, I can't say that. So that's why I'm so big on mindset and understanding how the mind works and like what you tell it, because what you feed it is what it's going to produce. So it's kind of a long explanation to what you asked, but that I think was the single most effective thing that really has changed my outlook and really changed how I look at myself. You know, I try not to feed myself a lot of negative content anymore and really try to keep it positive and uplifting. And now if I were to show you around my house right now, there's affirmations and stuff everywhere, you know, like my planner sitting right here. It says, this is my year. I have a cup that I'm drinking out of right now that says, she believed she could. She believed she could, so she did. And there's just stuff everywhere that's constant, kind of these like affirmations that I am worthy, I am good enough. And like this reminders that you are what you feed into your mind. So that's kind of how it gets.
I could just mic drop it right there. Done. We are done with the podcast, everyone. But with the mindset, it's just so interesting. So I'm obsessed with words. I've always been obsessed with words. I have a journalism degree and I went to law school. Like, those are two things that are like, words are everything. So my friends get annoyed with me sometimes when I pick apart one of their sentences and one of their words they use. I'm like, but why'd you use that word? There's a particular meaning. Like, and it's getting to mindset stuff. But anyways, there was a point in time. No, you'll be fine. I'm not gonna be like, low, why did you use that word? No, I can't even say that because I changed the meaning of words now too to support me. So I got into a conversation with a friend and we were going in this circle. He was talking about losing friends and losing people in your life as you're like up leveling. And I'm just like, I don't like that phrase of losing people. I go, I kind of view it as I leave the door open, there's space for them to take it, but they're the ones that have to decide to take it. They're always welcome back. So I'm not losing them. There's an opportunity for them to come back. It's not like closing the door. But we went in this whole circle, and then finally to the end, he's like, he said something that was the same thing as my definition. I'm like, thank you, fucking God. Like, seriously, we had this whole text conversation, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy right now. Like, Lord, have mercy. But it's just, like, my word for 2020 is surrendered. So I had to sit with myself as to what does that mean to me and not what I was taught about, like, waving the white flag. So that's where with the mindset of different things. And I was even talking to another friend about like what her word would be. And she's just like, I don't want it to be grace. But then we were having a conversation and she kept bringing up grace as the word. I'm like, just change it to something different that's supportive mm-hmm. for you to step into. So yeah.
I love that. My word mm-hmm. for this year is intentional. So trying to live every day with intention, which it can be hard sometimes, but yeah, I've never been like someone that like picked words or did any of that. But it just like you said, they can be so powerful. And when you associate meanings, you know, you could say intentional and that can mean 100 different things to people, you know, but like, I know what it means for me. And for me, you know, it means living every day and like waking up like with a purpose, like what am I going to do today? And I want to live with intention as far as like my business goes. And like, where do I want to see this? This seems to be very intentional. And I don't want to be out here just, you know, throwing ideas around and hoping one of them sticks. Like, I want to have a purpose and have intention and, you know, make that a priority. And so I love that you kind of brushed on that. But yeah, so I mean, you can change the meaning. It needs to fit however you want it to fit, but it doesn't mean that you or I have to have the same definition of the word.
Exactly. I love that you chose the word intentional, because people don't use that.
Yeah.
Like living with intention, living with on purpose, because it kind of gets a little intimidating to them, because then it could feel heavy as to, oh my God, I have to decide like what I want to be. And like with you are saying how you decided to start rewiring your brain was like, I'm getting good at saying positive affirmations to myself or saying positive things to myself. That's just the stepping stone. That was your intention to start feeding your mind with goodness. And it snowballed into what it is today. But it doesn't mean you have to be like, my intention is to, I don't know, make $2 million this year, gonna do it come hell or high water. It's like,
right.
No. It's like right now it's us intentional with our health, with our living, what is not working, what is working in our life, and going from there. But yeah, I love how you chose that word.
Yeah, it's interesting to think like back when I was reading that, you know, book, like I don't know that I realized how much of a difference that would have. So it's crazy to think that something so small has snowballed into a lot of things. Like obviously I was looking and I was interested and it was the right time for me to hear those kinds of things. But it's so interesting to see, like, it just took off from there. And I was just like, wow, like this power that we have over our mind, like imagine all the things we can do. And, you know, the person sitting here today would have never, I never would have imagined I would have been here, you know, even 18 months ago, probably, you know. It was, I had this dream that like people who did podcasts were all like fancy and famous and this, and who am I to be on a podcast, you know, but it's like, and here we are. So it's, you know, it really is amazing what can happen when you kind of just open your mind up and just start you know, like I said, feeding it different information. And you don't necessarily always have to know where it's taking you, but if you just open yourself up to it, and then who knows what will happen. You know, one of my, you know, so I said I struggled a lot with in high school with like eating disorders and like diet, and a lot of that continued. And so I want to say like maybe like 10 months ago, that was something that I still really struggled with. I spent so much time and focus on what I ate and, or what I didn't eat. And then I would binge and I would feel guilty and I hated myself, you know, and it was just this vicious cycle that so many of us know in the diet culture. And so again, this relates to a book, but I read another great book called Intuitive Eating. Cause I was like, I'm so tired of just like being consumed by food. Like every day revolves around what am I going to eat, or what I'm, you know, what am I going to make, or how many calories do I have? Or if I eat this, I'm going to be skinny. I mean, it was just unreal. And so I was like, I am so sick of this. And so I think I was talking to my therapist one day and she recommended this book. And so I started reading it. And again, it was kind of that same mentality. I was like, there is no way that like suddenly a book is going to change my mentality about diet culture that I've had for the last freaking 30 years. Like there's no way. And so I did. I started reading it though. And it was, again, it spends so much time talking about how your mind works around this and around diet culture, and how the more you're restricting, the more your body actually wants it. And so again, it explained things to me in a way that I could understand. And I was like, huh. And so it's a strange concept that it's like, why don't you just allow yourself to eat whatever it is that you want? And eventually like those things that you desire and the untouchables no longer become this like forbidden fruit. And then you just like, you listen to your body, and when it's full, it's full. You eat when you're hungry, you don't eat when you're not. It like, it's just like, you know, primitive concept that I somehow was so lost on. And it was so interesting because I think I look at my life now and where I have, you know, time to, you know, like I said, I work, I run a business. Like I have all this, I don't know, I should say time to do this, but like I do, like I maximize the 16 hours that I'm awake, I fully maximize. But again, even a year ago, the reason I don't think I could have been here doing what I'm doing is because instead of like now where I'm focusing on how I can serve my community and how I can serve other people, I was focused on myself and like food, and that it consumed me. Like I wish I could show you into like my brain how it was a year ago. I mean, just absolutely consumed with everything food related. And so it was a hard transition. I mean, I spent months having to like sit with myself and be like, okay, like let's eat and listen to yourself and decide like when you're full, you know? And so now it's this really interesting concept that I don't struggle like I did. I no longer like binge eat. And now food is just food. Like food is just something that I eat with, yes, when I am hungry and I need it, and that I could make better food choices. Now that's a whole nother subject for another day, but it's no longer this consuming process where, again, I have all these negative thoughts surrounding it. So it's incredible how your mind space can open up when you're not completely consumed and focused on, you know, something such as that. But I don't know how I got onto that, but that was just an example, I guess, of me and like what used to take up my space, and how getting rid of that kind of allowed other things to come in. And, you know, of course I didn't have time to think about running a business then, because I was thinking about the Oreos in the pantry. It was sounds so basic, but I know it's true, you know, that it took up so much brain power and so much thought and just so much hatred on myself, I think. And so it's interesting how that's changed.
Food is like all consuming, like how we, again, like the diet culture and how we grew up and different things we saw. But one of the things I wanted to emphasize that you said was like clearing up your mental space. Like you wouldn't be able to be doing stuff for your business now or have a business because you didn't have the mental capacity to do that. And it's just like so many different things. It was for food for you, but you could probably also relate, like if you have to have a conversation with someone or you have to do something that you don't want to do, but you're thinking about doing it and avoiding doing it, it's still the same concept as it's taking up your mental capacity and using up all that energy where you could be do the thing and then focus elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%. I believe that hands down that, yeah, mine was food, but somebody, you know, for other people, it could be something completely different. It could be their difficult family members, or it could be their relationships, or it could be anything, but it just takes up so much mental space that, you know, you don't have time to do anything else because you're exhausted from that constant, you know, battle within yourself about whatever situation like you're struggling with. So yeah, I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, food is so interesting. I noticed, like, growing up, I did that in college. And sometimes when I get overly stressed, I don't eat. And so I do the opposite of what I saw, like, growing up was, like, overly stressed or, like, some emotional thing happened and then food would somehow be consumed and that was supposed to give the comfort, but it just didn't work for me. And I knew I was an athlete, I couldn't be eating that much either, like, the quantities or, like, the sweets and stuff like that. But then I noticed again, like, when I get super stressed, I'm like, okay, I have to eat. I have to force myself to eat a full meal, even if I'm, like, not hungry, so to speak. Like, I have to eat and fuel myself again, otherwise I'm doing myself a disservice and everyone else that I'm serving.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting to look how, like, our bodies respond to emotional stresses. And, you know, some people, like, sleep a ton when they're really stressed, and I'm like the opposite. If I'm really stressed, like, I can't sleep. And so it's interesting how we kind of handle those situations. And, like, sometimes when I'm stressed, though, I do notice that I tend to, like, snack more and I kind of gravitate to that. But then if I'm, like, really, really stressed and, like, if sometimes I get, like, so stressed, like, I'm, like, nauseous to my stomach, like, if it's times like that, then I'm like, oh no, I don't want to eat, like, keep that away. And, like, I'll notice that I, like, will lose weight in those times. So it's really interesting, like, watching our stress responses to, you know, how we react and what we do in those times. And it's so different. Everybody is completely different in how they react to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since quarantine, I've noticed that I work out a lot more or go on a lot more walks around. It's just how I've, like, grown up would handle stress. Or that was, like, my outlet. But I'm just like, okay, I'm a little stressed right now. It's like, if I do 2 walks a day, I'm like, okay, I'm super stressed today. All right. Okay, that's fine. I'll be okay. Just walk.
Yeah, that's something that, like, I wish I took more advantage of, is, like, getting outside. And, you know, because I think with this quarantine, I'm just in the house a lot more, and I noticed that, like, I'm not getting outside as much as I usually am. And so I've had to kind of, like, stop and remind myself, like, whoa, go outside and enjoy the pretty sunshine and, like, eat dinner outside or do something so you can get out and get fresh air. And, you know, like, don't just stay trapped in the house all day long. Mm-hmm. Speaking of quarantine, go ahead. I was just saying, it's really interesting because, like I said, you know, prior that, I was always a big people person, and I've always thought of myself as really extroverted, which I think I am, you know, that I still lean towards that. But I thought that this quarantine would be extraordinarily hard because I am used to social interactions and I'm used to always being around people. And I, you know, me and my friends go out to dinner or happy hour or whatever, like, multiple times a week. And I thought this was going to be I was going to go crazy during this and just be like stir crazy and like, oh, I can't handle it. You know, get me out of here. Like, I'm going to feel trapped. But surprisingly, it's been the total opposite. I've actually really enjoyed it. And I think part of that was because, you know, I've come a long way in a lot of, you know, behaviors I've had. However, one thing I think I've noticed is I think I still have, like we talked about earlier, a little bit sense of guilt. And so if someone asks me to do something or I feel like I should be doing something, you know, I think I still get a little like FOMO, like, oh, well, you know, I have the ability to go and do things, like I should. And so I think this quarantine has shown me how comfortable I am actually like being home and not going out and doing a lot of the things that I usually do. And that's not to say I don't miss like my friends and that kind of interaction, but I think it's been interesting what I've learned about myself and how comfortable I have been just like being with myself and doing kind of like the tasks I want to do. And now I'm like, oh, I can guilt-free like work on my business and not have to worry about turning down dinner to work on it. You know, so I think that has opened up a new door for me to explore and just kind of figure out, you know, well, are you doing things because there's, you know, you feel guilty, you feel like you should be out and about doing stuff, or is it because, you know, you really want to? So I think that's really interesting. This quarantine has brought a lot to the surface. Mm-hmm.
That's an understatement of the year. Yeah. It's like, I've been interviewing guests and I tell them when the episode launches and then they're like, oh, can we talk about quarantine? And I'm like, yes, please do. Who knows when this is going to be over? And I go, quarantine is a microscope on stuff that's not working right now, on stuff that needs to change. And it's not like as soon as this is over that it's magically all of the same stressors are going to disappear. Like, no, if you're not comfortable hanging out with yourself, like you weren't comfortable hanging out with yourself before. And if you're also like, I saw the memes going around about couples in quarantine, like either they're getting a divorce or there's going to be
lots of babies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, that's true because you're actually spending time with the person. And no matter how long you've been in the relationship, maybe you everyone evolves and change, but you guys haven't gotten to know who the new version of each other is. And maybe they don't work. And that's okay. But yeah, I don't know. With the corona babies, it's just interesting because I go, it's going to go in waves. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm just like, think about it. When we're able to get back with each other, I don't drink and I want to go to a bar and I just want to sit and watch because there are going to be people who are all over each other. And then there are going to be people who will be like, you can have 5 foot, like 5 foot's okay. And everything else in between. But I go, hormones are going to take over. So it's just going to be in waves. Like there's going to be 9 months from now and then 9 months after we're all back released into the wild.
Released. Yeah, I've thought about that. And I wonder how it'll be interesting, you know, just our social interactions. Like, how is it, you know, is it going to be different? And like when we go to the grocery stores or we go into all these public places, like, are they going to keep some of these, you know, precautions they've kept in place? Or I don't know. Like, I think it's just going to be very interesting. But I agree with you. It's not just going to be like, okay, like, yeah, we're released and like everything's the same now. And I think it'll be interesting too for the businesses to, what happens with that? Because I think so many people have worked from home now that I wonder if businesses are going to be like, huh, well, like we can still do what we need to do with people working from home. And do we need to bring them into an office still? Or I don't know. I think there's just so many factors to consider that I don't know. I don't know what to expect whenever the quarantine is over.
No one knows. Yeah. Like there was discussion about, well, what's going to replace the handshake? Because mm-hmm. Are we going to go back to the handshake or are we going to adopt something like China and those Asians? Yeah, the elbow bump. Yeah, typical like, bro, you stereotype American. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do it. One thing where they think we look down upon it. Oh, we do the elbow bump. Cool, elbow bump. Got it. Like double tap if you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Anyways, but that was a conversation. And that's also like, you know, another one was maybe we no longer have 8-hour work days. Maybe they realize we can get stuff done in 4 to 6 hours a day and still be productive. And what does that look like? And just with also highlighting like the essential workers, like the people who we actually need to sustain the society that has been looked down upon for so long, like how does that all shift and change? Because they have a massive new appreciation for what they are doing.
Yes.
So it's just, like you said, it's interesting. Who knows?
Who knows? You're very true. I've seen a lot of those comments too. That's like, pay attention, like during these times, like who was essential and who we had to have to like still be out there working. And I was like, huh, like that does make, that's very interesting, you know? And then it's like, I think there's a newfound appreciation for, you know, a lot of the businesses, like in your own like cities and stuff. And thinking about how all the people who like work in restaurants or who are servers or who are bartenders and like those kinds of professions that overnight they just like didn't have jobs. And so I think it'll be interesting to kind of see how when that comes back, like how people react to that. Like, you know, for me, I know that I'll be far more appreciative and, you know, not that I always, you know, treat those people well. I think it's actually interesting. I like to watch how people treat servers and bartenders because I think it says a lot about them. That's a story for another day. But I think it'll just be interesting to like welcome them back into like, I don't know, like it's, I don't know. I just think it's going to be a whole new level of like appreciation and just being like, I'm glad that like you can have like your income back and like you can be doing what you want to be doing again. And like, I don't know, just that level of appreciation for jobs that overnight were just gone. Mm-hmm.
And they'll be the last to be released because of how much contact they have with each other and the public. And, you know, just think of like bar situations, how much liquid is being thrown around. Yeah, people crowded next to each other. And then I also had the discussion of like, well, in my mind, this is another like disease. It's like polio. It's like chicken pox. Like, how are we going to interact with each other if like someone's had it and someone hasn't had it? Is there going to be a vaccine? Is that going to work? Like, it's really also that plays into it because it's kind of like, you know, if you take the chicken pox analogy, there were chicken pox parties people would have like growing up because it was just one of those things that was going to happen. You wanted to expose your children to it because if you're our age and get exposed to it, it's bad news. It's worse for you. But then I'm also like, no one's going to want to have Corona parties like that either because of everything that's going on. But it's kind of just like, how do we find that middle ground? And we won't know until we're in the middle of
yeah,
it. Just like,
I think this, a lot to come on that. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, and the date like keeps getting pushed back on when the shelters in place will be lifted and all that. I don't know. Yeah, there's so much unknown that I'm just trying to make the best of what I can right now. I'm just grateful mm-hmm. that I have more time than I used to have. Like, I don't have to commute. I don't have to get up and like do makeup. I don't have to do my hair. Like, so I don't know. We're just going to find the positives. I haven't worn underwear in a couple weeks. Like, I mean, it's just...
I thought it was like moments of fun and moments of joy. Like at the beginning of this, I'm like, just find some moments of fun and joy because this is like really heavy. There's a lot we don't know what's going on. Lots of things are shifting for us overnight. Like everyone's like fear, survival factors coming in. But like find some pockets of fun and joy. Like even if it's for 5 seconds, I don't care. But it's just like mm-hmm. you need to have those moments.
Yeah, I agree. You got to find something to be happy about.
So what led you to start Passions and Growth?
I knew I wanted to do something. So I, after kind of going through some of my journey and just really analyzing where I was before I kind of started my personal growth journey and then where I was at this moment, you know, which was like about a year ago, I was like, wow, like it's really interesting to see where I've come in such a short amount of time. And I was in the middle of it, you know, I felt very alone. I felt like no one else can be feeling what I'm feeling, right? Like, you know, who, like no one else is talking about this. And like no one else is talking about their journey or how they don't like themselves or like the things they're ashamed of. And so I wanted to do something. I didn't know what that something was. I was like, how can I like create a community of women who we can talk about this and we can have a safe space and I can kind of share like what I've been through and kind of give some like resources that I've used or stuff that's helped. And so then actually one day I was at a winery and I was like kind of talking to friends about it because I was like, I mean, there's got to be a good way to deliver this. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I love subscription boxes. Like, why don't I? Maybe I could do a subscription box of stuff. And I was like, and then people can get it delivered right to their door. They've got like products they can use. They've got resources. I can create a Facebook group that has a community full of people. And then I just kind of went for it. I don't know. I was feeling, I guess, very brave. And I was like, let's just do it. Let's go for it. Do I know how to start a business? Nope. Do I know how to run a subscription box? Nope. But I'm going to figure it out. And that's how it was born. And so I've loved it. I think it's been great. And I think that I didn't know how it was going to go or how it was going to be received, but I think it's been very well received. And, you know, women have been very grateful to have kind of that space and community with other like-minded women and then also enjoy having those products delivered to them. And so I don't know. It's I never would have dreamed that, I don't know, that thought in a winery would lead to where it is now, but it's been great. And it's, I have a lot of women like message me and, you know, are just very thankful to have something that seems like very authentic and real. And I don't mind sharing like where I've been and where I've come from and still sharing my doubts and insecurities I have with myself. And, you know, I think we're all just trying to do the best we can with what we have. So it'll be, you know, this year in September, it'll be Passion and Growth will be one year old. So we'll have to do something big for it, but yeah, it's grown. And I'm impressed by all the women that, you know, have really like stepped up and said that they want to start making themselves the priority. And, you know, I think a lot of people really connect with like the, I have a lot of, usually in each box, I try to do like a book. And to me, cause I think to me, that was so important to me. And most of my big revelations have come from like books and such. And so that is something that I wanted to include. And so a lot of people, I think, have really connected with that and like that as well. And so I'm just blessed to be able to do this.
It's just interesting how that is. I when bars start being open again, I think I need to hang out more at bars because you're like the fifth guest who said, I was sitting at some alcoholic place and, you know, my friends and I were just having a conversation and then this happened. And I'm just like, wow. A business was born.
A business was born.
Yeah. I really love that fact. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because like you're, I don't know what it is, but I think it's like you allow yourself to start, you know, just thinking more and your inhibitions are kind of, you know, a little lower and you like start dreaming up ideas and you're like, that's a good idea. Like, I think your walls come down and that's, you know, part of what makes it, I don't know, I think you can think sometimes in a way that you wouldn't normally think.
But being able to just like relax.
And, yeah.
You know, give your, like, again, creating some mental capacity to do that. So your brain can be like, oh, okay, here's that little nugget of wisdom. Here's your intuition talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, go do it.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I was like, that's a good idea. And then I think I came home and I think the next day I was Googling. I was like, how to start a subscription box. I mean, YouTube and Google have been the best business mentors for me.
I've heard that a lot too. Mm-hmm. So what has been the biggest thing you've learned about yourself or learned about that process of just starting and going and see what happens?
I've learned I'm really determined. Mm. So I think, you know, and I've overcome certain things in my life and have, I mean, I feel like I'm still young, but I've accomplished things, you know, been to college, I've been a nurse, I've had a good career. Like I've always succeeded in my jobs. And I think I always kind of told myself like, oh, like you've just like gotten lucky or you, I don't know. Like I don't think I ever gave myself credit for what I've done. And I think doing this has given me the audacity to say like, you're really effing determined, you know, like you, that's why you're successful. And that's why you are able to accomplish things. And that's why you've always like done good at your jobs is like, I don't take no. I don't know. I don't like to not be able to do something. And so if there's, I'm faced with a challenge, like I want to figure it out, you know, whether that's been in my nursing career or this, or to me, I think that's interesting. And so I think I've finally come to that place where I'm able to actually say that. Like I wouldn't have been able to say that before. I just assumed that, I don't know, like that was just, I don't know. I think I'd always put it off on another reason, but now it's like, I know that like, no, I'm determined. And I know that like, if I want to do something, like I'm going to do it. And even if it's hard and even if it's challenging, and even if I have no freaking clue how to do it, I'm going to figure it out. And I think that's been, it's been really interesting for me. Like I've grown so much in this process and I've been able to see that, you know, again, it's a lot of a mindset, you know, like there's been so many hurdles that I could have been like, oh heck no, absolutely not. Like there has been nights where I've been up just crying my eyes out. And I'm like, I don't know that this is the right thing. Like maybe I'm not good at it or I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, and those are moments where I think they're necessary because I need to get my feelings out, but then I'm able to like pick myself back up and be like, you know, this is when people quit. Like, this is why some people don't succeed, is because when times get hard and it sucks, like, people don't want to keep moving forward. And this is the time when, like, I'm like, Lo, like, put one foot in front of the other and keep going, because this is going to be the difference between if you're successful and if you're not. And if you really want this, then you've got to keep moving forward no matter what. And so it's been that ability to be able to, I think, kick myself in the butt and just be like, it's okay. And like, you can feel those feelings and you can feel whatever you're feeling and you can live in this moment for right now, but you know that you're going to come through it. And, you know, tomorrow we're just going to start fresh again. And just, you know, don't worry about it tonight. Obviously you're having a bad night, so just start fresh tomorrow and we'll pick it right back up. And I think that's, you know, I had one of those moments the other night. Like, I'm planning for one of my boxes and it has a fragile item in it, and yours truly has never shipped a fragile item before and apparently didn't put all the thought process that goes into that. And so now I'm trying to like pack it up and think about how we're going to ship it without it breaking. And we're like testing it and we're like dropping subscription boxes full of items like on the ground to see if it'll break. Well, it does. And so now I'm like, what do? I have 250 boxes that need to go out. They're going to have a shattered item in there. And so it's stuff like that, that it's, I don't know. I didn't plan for that. Will I ever do that again? Absolutely not. But I figured it out. I had to order bigger boxes. I had to order lots of bubble wrap. And like, this product is now like living on air. It's on a cloud basically, and it will not break. But it's stuff like that, that it's like, I don't know. Like, does that suck? Totally. Did I have to spend a lot of money? Totally. But whatever, like, these mistakes are, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to live it and I'm going to figure it out and we're going to move on. And that's what's going to make me more resilient in the future.
Mm-hmm. So. And you need to learn those mistakes to grow your business, because it can't always be bubblegums and rainbows, no matter what anyone says. Like, the growth and change happens when, you know, something happens like that. Oh, I decided to do a fragile item and I have no clue on how this is going to ship.
Never and again. You know,
and like, you tested it and make sure you it would get there, because otherwise you would essentially have like 200 plus fragile items you would have to replace, which would be an even bigger nightmare and all of that. And so it's just interesting. Also, like, we've talked about like culture and growing up, about how we don't want people to fail, or you should avoid failure, or, you know, what's coming up for me is the participation ribbon children got for just doing a sport. And I thought to myself, I'm like, did I ever get a participation ribbon? And I'm go, one time, but I discarded it because I had a first place trophy. But otherwise, I'm just like, I've never gotten a participation ribbon, because it was after my time. But it's still like that, you got to go and get your knees scraped.
You got to get banged up so you can stand back up. Well, and I was laughing because I was telling my partner, we're like laying in bed and I was just laughing because I was like, I think this is that moment where all these people say like, oh, like I made a lot of mistakes when I was first starting out. And I'll be like, this can be one of those that I learned the hard way. And, you know, we can laugh about how we were dropping subscription boxes on our concrete ground to see if our item would shatter. Turns out it does. So I was like, one day we'll laugh, which I guess that day is today, because I've now solved the problem.
And it's just a cloud.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, it's just on this like cloud. I like dropped it yesterday and I was like, look at that. I was like, I figured it out. I was like, that baby's on like the toughest bubble wrap it'll ever be.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I could talk to you for like hours, especially with like mindset and different things like food. Like, you're hitting on so many different points where I'm like, oh, can we go further? Can we go? But alas, time. But yeah. Everything that keeps ticking by. Mm-hmm. So where can everyone find you, Lo?
So I am on all social platforms at Passion and Growth. So if you look up Passion and Growth, that's how you can find me everywhere. So.
Beautiful. What has been, you've mentioned some so far, but what has been a book, podcast, resource that has provided you with so much value that you would share with the audience?
Book, podcast, resource. That's a good question. I want to say some of my like most favorite and relatable books that are easy reads no matter where you kind of are on the, you know, spectrum of kind of this personal growth mindset journey. I love Rachel Hollis's books. I think all her books are great, very relatable, and she delivers her message in such a way that you're like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. And so I think that's a very like low barrier to kind of getting a taste of some personal development, personal growth without it getting, you know, I think too like overwhelming. So I really like that. That was one of the books I read when I was kind of first getting my feet wet. And I think that was a really good one for me because it really made me feel like I'm not alone. There's other people that are feeling the same things I'm feeling. And she delivers it in such a way that's funny and natural. And I really, Girl, Wash Your Face was a great book I'd recommend.
I would recommend that book too. It was a really good one too.
Yeah, she's great. I love anything Rachel Hollis though. She's phenomenal.
She's just so like down to earth and doesn't try to be anything that she's not. And she's also very open about where times where she does fall back into the people pleasing and, you know, second guessing herself and then being like, you know, I had to like tell myself to F them and do what I want.
Yeah, one of her like quotes from that book, I think that I still say this to myself all the time because I do struggle so much with the people pleasing and stuff as well, is someone else's opinion of me is none of my business. And I say that to myself all the time, like when I kind of start to get down that like rabbit hole of maybe what is someone else thinking of me, or because, you know, I still struggle with that often as well. I know better ways to nip it in the bud now, but I say that to myself all the time. I'm like, someone else's opinion of me is none of my business. And something else she says that's phenomenal is don't get someone in the cheap seats, like an opinion of like what you're doing, something into that effect. But I'm like, that's also very true. Like, why is someone in the nosebleed seats why am I going to like give their opinion like it's gold? Like, their opinion doesn't matter. No one else's opinion of me matters but my own. And I don't care if you like me, I like me, you know? And so she's great. She's great.
That's the most important thing. Everyone should like themselves.
Yeah, for a long time I didn't. So it's amazing to be able to say that now. Because for so long it was not the case. So it's powerful when you get to that point and you can say it and believe it.
Mm-hmm. What has been your bravest moment so far?
Starting a business. I had no clue what the heck I was doing. If I knew now what I knew then, I might be like, oh, hell no. There's a whole lot of stuff that you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. I never, ever, ever would have dreamed, like, lo, the businesswoman. What? Sorry. That sounds crazy. Like, no. I don't know. I was always lo, the nurse. Like, that was what I said I was going to be from when I was a little kid to when I was an adult. And, you know, I've loved that part of my life and I've enjoyed every minute of being a nurse, but I think this is something that's so far out of what I ever would have dreamt was a possibility, you know? And so the fact that I just like, I did it and here it is and it's out there and I have a product into the world and it still to this day, like, doesn't seem real. Like every month when we go to pack the boxes and the number just gets bigger and bigger and bigger every month. My friends and stuff are always like, how do you feel? Does it feel real? Like what's going on? And I'm like, no, it does not feel real. Like this, it doesn't feel real yet. Like this seems like I'm looking at it like at an outsider's like perspective, like looking in at this amazing thing. And so to say like, I've created that. I was like, no, it hasn't hit me yet. I don't know when it will. I was like, maybe you're on the same time me feeling like an adult hits me, but I don't know. Somewhere, sometime it'll hit me.
It may not even hit you. It may just be something that's so like deeply ingrained in you, kind of like you're determined to do it and you're just like deciding to do it. And since you decide to do it, even though you pull back and look at all the amazingness that you've created and the numbers keep going up and, you know, the products and relationships you're building from it, it's still kind of, it feels like, at least from my experience with like the podcast, it feels like it's just a byproduct. Like I love doing the podcast, like you love creating this box and it's just like, you're going to create it no matter what. So it's just going to be there.
it doesn't feel like a job. It doesn't feel like, you know, it's just, it's so enjoyable. Like every day I'm always so excited when I have to be like, sit down. I'm like, okay, let's work on passion and growth. Like it's just fun and it's exciting and the impact it can have. I just, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I'm excited to see where it is at year one and then after where it goes.
We'll have a birthday party, virtual birthday party, because we might still be in quarantine.
We might. And my final question for you, Lo, is what is your definition of brave?
Ooh, that's a good question. My definition of brave would be just doing something even if it scares you, or even if you have, I don't know, even if it makes you anxious, or I think just being able to take that step forward and kind of put one foot in front of the other and do something anyway. I think that's, I kind of, what instantly came in my head was, I went to Victoria Falls like 2 years ago and we were bungee jumping off the bridge there. And it's like this giant drop. And I remember being like, I don't want to do this. This is scary. I don't want to do it. But like, I think I knew the reward I was going to get from doing it. And I was just like, we got to just be brave and do it. We got to literally put one foot in front of the other and jump off this ledge in order to get the result that we want. Like, it seems scary as heck right now, but you know you're going to like it when you're flying through the air over this beautiful waterfall, but you got to take that step first. And so that's kind of what I think when I think of brave, is taking that step, even though it's kind of scary, but knowing that the result is going to be worth it. Or maybe, maybe the result won't always be worth it, but taking that step anyway.
I love that definition. Just taking the first step. That's all you need to do.
That's all you got to do. Just put one foot in front of the other.
Well, Lo, thank you so much for coming on today. I love the conversation that we had, and it was just everything, and I'm excited to see where you go.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we need to be friends in real life. We'll be virtual friends.
I'm planning a trip down to Texas.
Come on down sometime this year. Yeah, whenever we get out of quarantine. But thank you so much. Seriously, this has been phenomenal and I really appreciate it.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.